Welcome to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show. Here you will find a variety of podcasts from authors, bloggers, and speakers ready to encourage you on your daily journey. I can't wait to get started, and now let's listen to today's show.
This broadcast is brought to you by the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Hi everyone, and welcome to Peaceful Mom Talk. I'm your host, Mariana Chambers. I'm an author, a mental health counselor, a parenting coach, and a homeschooling mom of three. I'm passionate about helping moms just like you nag less and nurture more, all while building a closer bond with their kids. Let's get started. Hi everyone, and welcome to Peaceful Mom Talk. Today, we are going to talk about three powerful phrases to help us communicate better and more peacefully with our children. If you struggle with your child pushing back or yelling, or if you ever just feel like your child doesn't listen, if you and your child have power struggles, then this episode is for you. These three phrases that I'm going to teach you today are tools that you'll be able to put into practice right away to help your child feel more understood and more valued. Not only that, but you'll also be able to diffuse power struggles before they even begin. What's even better than that is that these three phrases are ones that counselors just like myself use every day in their practice. So once you learn them, you can use them not only in your parenting, but you can also use them with your spouse, your friends, your boss, anyone that you want to communicate better with. All right, so let's get started. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I wasn't always the best communicator. My natural personality is one of a more fix-it type. If you've got a problem, then I've got a dozen ideas at least for how to solve it. My brain runs about a mile a minute. I've got ideas for days, and I'm constantly thinking up new solutions, ideas, innovations, inventions. It just doesn't stop. So when I first started my job as a counselor, I was working in a call center. I was fresh out of grad school, and I thought I had all the answers. If someone called me with a challenge or a problem that they were facing, I had ideas ready for them. And it didn't take me long to learn that sometimes having the answer isn't what the other person needs. And the same is true in our parenting. One day at work, my supervisor sat down with me and she said, "You know, Mariana, sometimes people don't want the answer. Sometimes they just want to be understood." See, if someone called me and they were having trouble sleeping, I'd often jump right into, "Great, here are five simple steps to help you get the best sleep ever. Want to hear them?" But by jumping in to solve their problem for them, I'd missed what was really going on. And I think sometimes the same thing is true in our parenting. Maybe the person on the other end of the phone didn't really have a sleep problem, but they had a heart problem, a worry problem, a relationship problem. So over time, I had to learn to use these three phrases so that I could learn how to listen and make the other person feel valued, understood, and validated. These three phrases are ones that I still use today on the job and ones that I use with my own kids. The first phrase that I want to teach you today goes like this. "So, what I hear you saying is..." Now, that phrase is what we call reflective listening, or restating what your child has just told you. When we paraphrase something that's been told to us, we're doing two things. Number one, We're showing the child that we actually hear what their primary concern is. And number two, we're giving them the chance to clarify if, by chance, we misunderstood them. Now, there are usually two kinds of communicators in the world. One person may communicate just straightforward. They shoot from the hip. They get right to the point, and they're immediately able to identify what they want you to know or what's going on with them. On the other hand, some people kind of talk around an issue. They have to give you the backstory. They fill in details that aren't really relevant. You might know someone that like this, or you may be someone like this, and that's okay. They might tell you a story about a story, or tell you what they were wearing, or what the weather was like. In my home, my son is more of a get right to the point person. And my oldest daughter is sometimes more of a storyteller, and she will fill in lots of details. So for her especially, it's really important for me as her mom to reflect back what she's saying. Let me give you a hypothetical example of how this technique is used in real life. So let's imagine that you and your family have just come home from church one Sunday. And you ask your son, how was Sunday school? And he responds, well, first we had circle time, and our teacher had on a new blue dress. And then we had Bible story time, but during the story, Sam kept trying to talk to me, and I told him to shush, but the teacher only saw me talking, and she moved me to the other side of the class so I couldn't hear the story anymore, and that's not fair. And then we had snack and music. Woo, that is a lot of information. So how do you even begin to process all that? Your gut instinct may be to be like, I'm going to call the teacher right now, and you might jump into action. But when we use reflective listening, we can help make sure that our child knows that he was heard. By using the phrase that I taught you, this is how you would do it. What I hear you saying is, Sam kept talking to you, and you got the blame for interrupting story time. See, that whole story that your child told you was summarized in just a few words. Now your child feels heard. He feels like you truly care about what he's saying. And it also gives him the chance to clarify if you misunderstood. Now he may reply back to you, yeah, exactly. Or he might say, well, actually, Sam got moved too. So by reflecting back what he's told you, this gives you more detail and helps you get a more accurate picture of what really happened. So the next time your child comes to you with a problem or telling you about something that happened, try summarizing what they've told you and reflecting back what they've said. Now, you can also use this technique with toddler and younger kids in a much simpler way. Let's imagine that your toddler asked you for a banana. So you get a banana, you slice it up, and you give it to her in a bowl. And as all wonderful toddlers do, they would probably say, no, no banana. Instead of trying to reason with them and saying, but I just cut this up for you and you asked for it, so please eat it. You might say, okay, no banana. So you've essentially just summarized what your child was saying to you, just in a very shorter way. Instead of saying, so what I hear you saying is, you would say, okay, no banana. When you do this, you might be surprised that instead of getting into a power struggle with, you are going to eat the banana, no I'm not, yes you are, you might be surprised to find that your toddler says, wait, I changed my mind, I do want the banana. The second phrase that I want to teach you is, it sounds like. This is a really popular phrase that counselors use and that I use all the time, professionally and personally. When someone's telling me something, it's so easy to you know, gloss over how they're feeling. But when you use a phrase like, it sounds like, what you're doing is you're offering empathy and you're validating the other person's feelings. So going back to the case of the Sunday school example that we just talked about, where your child got moved in class for talking, after you've kind of reflected back what happened, you might say to him, it sounds like you felt frustrated. So again, your child has the opportunity to say, yeah, I really did feel frustrated. Or maybe he didn't feel frustrated and he wants to clarify, no, I didn't feel frustrated, Mom. I felt mad. So this helps your child to identify his feelings. And once he's identified his feelings, he'll be better able to regulate them. With a toddler, again, you can use fewer words to accomplish this. Let's imagine your spouse just had to leave for work in the morning and your toddler's crying because she doesn't want him to go. You might simply say, you're sad. Again, this feeling of being understood, being able to name their emotions is really, really key with children. Now, the third phrase that I want to teach you is, so where do we go from here? Now, I told you earlier that I'm a fixer. I like to solve problems. And I think as parents, we very much want to solve our children's problems. We're so busy that we need to fix this situation now so that we can keep moving on the next item on our to-do list. Or we may think it'll just be faster if we offer a solution. But when we jump in and intervene on their behalf or tell them what to do, we are missing out on an opportunity to teach them how to be problem solvers. Not only that, but we could also be setting ourselves up for another power struggle. In the Sunday school example again, we might be tempted to tell our child what to do, such as, next time I want you to stay away from Sam and don't sit next to him. What do you think would happen if you told your child that? What do you think he would say? I imagine that you would probably get some pushback. Your child might say, but Sam's my friend. I want to sit next to him. The fact is, kids, especially strong-willed kids, don't like to be told what to do. So instead, you might use this phrase and say, so where do we go from here? This will allow your child to come up with his own solution. You are empowering him to feel more in control, and you're also teaching him a valuable life skill. If a child has had all of his problems solved for him his whole childhood, once he enters adulthood, he's not going to have the skills that he needs to solve his own day-to-day struggles. I want to give you a real-life example of how you can use all three of these phrases together when you're approached with a problem. This way, you'll be able to communicate understanding, validation, and promote problem solving rather than engaging in a power struggle. The other day, my oldest daughter came downstairs while I was cooking dinner, and she said to me, Mommy, I want to play with my dolls, but Alex keeps bugging me to play trains with him, and all I want to do is just have a little peace and quiet, but he won't leave me alone. Now, I can tell you that I was tempted to say, Baby, Mommy is busy cooking dinner right now. Can you please just go play with him so I can get this done? But I resisted that temptation, and I used those three phrases that we just talked about. I said, so what I hear you saying is, you're needing some me time, but your brother would rather you play with him instead. And she replied, yes, exactly. So she felt understood, she felt heard, she felt valued. And then I said, it sounds like you feel pretty frustrated right now. And again, I got that one right. She said, yes, because I just want some time to myself. So I asked her, okay, where do we go from here? My daughter paused to think for a moment. And she said, I guess I could go play with him for 10 minutes. And then I'll tell him after his 10 minutes are up, I'm going to go to my room and play dolls. And I checked in with her and I asked her if that solution felt okay to her, and she said it did. So she ran back upstairs and successfully negotiated a 10-minute deal with her brother of playtime, and the whole thing worked out great. Now, what do you think would have happened if I had given in to my initial reaction of saying, baby, I'm so busy, please just play with your brother? Likely, my daughter would have felt unimportant, unheard, and maybe even bitter towards her brother or to me. She probably would have pushed back and said, I don't want to play with him. But by allowing her to feel heard and understood, allowing her to come up with a solution to her problem, this did not interfere with our bond. In fact, it made it stronger. Because she knows that I'm here for her and I listen to her without being dismissive. And you know what? In the end, it was easier for me. I didn't have to beg her to do what I wanted her to do. I didn't have to go upstairs and mediate a disagreement. They worked it out themselves. Now, I know you may be thinking, Mariana, I am not a counselor, and that kind of language just doesn't come natural to me. That is okay. It did not come naturally to me at first either. Like anything, this just takes a little practice. The more you do it, the more you practice, the more natural it will feel, and the easier it will become. Sooner or later, it's going to become second nature to you. So, to summarize, here are the three key phrases that you can use with your kids to improve your communication and communicate love and empathy, validation, and decrease power struggles. Number one, so what I hear you saying is, this is the reflective listening or reflecting back what they've already said to you. Number two, it sounds like, this is validating your child's feelings and helping him or her to identify how this makes them feel. Number three, so where do we go from here? This is empowering your child to problem solve. I really hope these techniques were helpful for you. To view today's show notes or drop me a line and let me know how these techniques work for you, visit peacefulmomtalk.com. I'll see you soon. You've been listening to Peaceful Mom Talk with Mariana Chambers. If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd love it so much if you'd take a moment to leave us a rating and review. It may seem like a small thing, but it really helps. You can also visit us at peacefulmomtalk.com, where you can find out how to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, my blog, and inside my private Facebook group for Christian moms on a peaceful parenting mission. I pray you've been blessed by today's show, and I hope you'll tune in next time.
Thanks for listening to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show Network. Be sure to connect with the podcaster and join us on social media as well. This podcast is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Visit our network at ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com and be sure to subscribe to our weekly e-zine for great offers and specials for our special e-zine subscribers.